welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We've been looking over the last few weeks about what we were just speaking about in worship, just our authority that we have in Jesus' name. And so we're going to actually be concluding our series today on walking in our authority, and we're going to take a look at kind of a final aspect that we really want to talk about as we kind of finish up on this subject. As we've been using as our main text over the last month, this year from James 4:7, the amazing promise that we have in him about resisting the devil. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Like we said, it's quite a promise. It's quite a statement. It's very similar to the other amazing promise that we have. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we had that series before, about a month ago, what it means to walk in the Spirit. If you can know what it means to walk in the Spirit, you can get victory over your flesh. And so that's kind of what we've been doing here with this amazing promise in the Word of God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, what does it mean to resist the devil? And so we've been kind of talking about that. And, you know, the first week we looked at basically the dilemma, the problem in ourselves to try to resist the devil. In our own natural human reasoning, it's very easy to be fooled, to be played by the enemy who's been playing man for thousands of years. James was saying, you know, if you got strife in your heart and your mind and there's envy, he said, glory not, this wisdom doesn't come from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. The wisdom that does come from above, it's pure, peaceable, gentle, full of mercy, good fruits, no partiality, no hypocrisy. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. And so we see that there are two kinds of wisdom. And if we're going to be able to resist, if we're going to be able to take authority in the earth, we got to tap into God's wisdom, his power, his Spirit, because just our own natural human reasoning does not have the power, the ability to resist those roars of the devil. We need help. You know, it's Christ in you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so we see that we need his power, his help. Then we kind of looked at, you know, the newness of the Spirit, going behind the scenes of the different things that God did in Christ to make this authority available to us. And then last week, we just specifically talked about resisting the devil. What does it look like to resist the devil? So we kind of looked at how we do that. First, we submit to God. We do it from a place of heavenly places in Christ. We find our place of authority. It's a place of humility where we're humbling ourselves under his mighty hand and then exercising that authority by the word of God, by the name of Jesus, to take authority over those things that would be coming against us. So it brings us up to the final part of the message, the series this morning. And we're going to go off this scripture here, Ephesians 4:26-27, where the Apostle Paul is admonishing the Ephesians. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath or give place to the devil. Passion says, don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. So this is a great admonition because it shows us that there are things that we can do proactively. You know, we can get out ahead of demonic attack, and we can get out ahead and nip things and get things out of the way to where the enemy can't play on us. He has nothing to work with because we're not letting the sun go down on our wrath. We're resolving things. We're taking care of things in a way that makes it hard for him to attack us because he has no place to attack. And so Jesus gives a great little parable illustration, I think a good visual of what this looks like in terms of preparing. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So we see there's two homes. One was built on the rock, one was built on the sand. It's really a picture of preparing, a picture of preparing for a day that's not even necessarily today, okay? You're preparing for a day. You're doing something out front for when that time comes, you're going to be ready. It's the same storm, you know, two different houses, but it's the same rain that descended on both of them. It's the same floods that came, and it's the same winds that blew. So the attack wasn't different. It's not like the attack on the sand was a really bad one, and the one on the rock was not that bad. It was the same attack. What determined whether they stood or fall is how they prepared ahead of time for that attack, for the winds, for the storm. You can't help but think when you read this story of the other little nursery story about the three little pigs, right? You had the three little pigs. And you had the little pig that made his house out of straw, and the one who made his house out of sticks, and the one who made his house out of bricks. And, of course, as the story goes, the big bad wolf comes along. He huffs and he puffs and he blows down the house of the straw, the pigs who made the house out of straw. And there's different versions of this. The nice, friendly version has the pig who built the house out of straw run to the house of the stick, the pig who built his house out of sticks. And he said, you know, he went over to that house, and he huffed and he puffed, and he blew that house down. And then they ran over to the house of the pig who built his house out of bricks. And, of course, the big bad wolf huffs and he puffs all he wants, but he cannot blow down that house. And we have that big bad wolf. Well, the Bible calls him a roaring lion. He goes about as a roaring lion. But I'm telling you what, there are things we can do. There are proactive measures that we can take. What we've been talking about at this point is more resisting the devil at the point of attack. That's not really what I'm talking about this morning as we're concluding this. We're talking about getting out ahead of an attack. We're talking about proactively doing some things so that when the roaring lion does come around and roars and roars and roars, you're not even fazed. There's a spirit of a sound mind that you already have that can't be penetrated by any roaring lion, simply because there's some things that you're doing ahead of time. And so this morning, again, we're concluding the series, Walking in Your Authority, No Place to the Devil. No place to the devil. It's just the proactive measures that we're taking ahead of time, getting out ahead of his attacks to have a strong place spiritually that we're able to operate from and be free from his demonic attacks and from his devices. And so this morning what we're going to basically do is we're going to take a look at a couple foundations, two foundations that we can lay, as it were, to prepare for that day. So the first foundation that we want to look at is simply calling, I'm calling it the foundation of unseen blessings. All right? We can see that the Apostle Paul, you know, he told us to set our mind on things above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, not on things on the earth. And the cool thing about Paul, we can see that, you know, in Colossians 3, we see the theology of it, but the Apostle Paul really lived it. He wasn't just saying it, he actually lived this. And when you look at, in the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11, it kind of is this laundry list of all the horrible attacks that he had to endure. It was Satan's buffeting completely laid out in terms of the things he experienced in that demonic attack. But this is what he says in the same book of 2 Corinthians. He says, "Our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And I'm kind of mashing this with Ephesians 1, where he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." In other words, there's stuff we are blessed with. There are spiritual blessings you can't see with your eyes, but they are there. And the Apostle Paul says, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. This is something that is so important. You know, the Bible talks about the natural man and the spiritual man. You know, Jesus also, in one place, he says, don't cast your pearls before the swine, lest they turn and rend you with them. In other words, don't take precious things of the Spirit to somebody who has no appreciation for them, like a pig has no appreciation for pearls. Sometimes you have to be guarded about what you say to who, because they may not have an appreciation for what you're about to say, all right? And so there are things that are in the Word of God that are there for those of us who can see it spiritually and have an appreciation for it. You know, if you talk about, you know, the unseen blessings of the world to the natural man, you say something like the name of Jesus. Say, well, what's the name of Jesus is going to help me? I'm in the real world. I got it. But the spiritual man looks at the name of Jesus. Wow, that's precious. That's very important. That's valuable. I treasure that. That's a pearl. I need that. And so you can see that. For the natural man, again, spiritual things that I can't see, it's denial and it's delusional. I'm going to look at the things that I can see now. I'm looking at there. I'm living in the real world. I'm not going to look away from the things that I can see now. It's denial to do that, delusional to look at things that don't exist. Those are the pressures that we feel in our natural bodies, our natural world that we live in. But we got to break out of that according to the Word of God, and we got to do things different. We got to think different. We got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. It's not that I'm looking away from troubles in a way that I'm denying their existence. No, the same Apostle Paul said, anything that causes anxiety, you let that request be made known unto God. In all our ways, we're acknowledging Him. We're not in denial about anything. I'm taking that trouble, and I acknowledge Him with it. Lord, I got a trouble here. Help me. I'm looking to You for Your guidance. Show me what to do. Praise God. No denial. Complete acknowledging of it. But at the same time, I am fixing my gaze on those things that cannot be seen. And why can I fix my gaze on things that are unseen? It's not delusional. It's not delusional because those things are true. They're real. And I'm excited to live in this day, in this time in the body of Christ, because I feel like there's a transition that's taking place in the body of Christ that's going from what we've known about who we are to the being who we are. That there is a move now that we can't just be blessed by these things in a surfacey way, but to take these things and realize that our deliverance is in these things, that there's a necessity in these things to grow up spiritually. And so there's a deepening of what's going on here in the body of Christ in terms of our identity in Christ and who we are. So as we look at this foundation of seeing the unseen, I mean, you could spend a long time on all those spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. But we're just going to hit on some of the basic things that we can see as we're looking at the unseen in the middle of troubles and trials. First one, and so this is some ground that we've covered, but one of the great important things that we can see is seeing the new creation. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old previous moral spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Galatians 2, my old identity has been co-crucified with the Messiah and no longer lives, for the nails of His cross crucified me with Him. And finally, Ephesians, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which was already created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we kind of illustrated it this way as we talked about the process. You know, if on this side of the cross represents my before faith in Christ, you know, I had two problems here with sin. I had an inward pull towards sin, and I had an outward pull in my body. My spirit was corrupted with sin, and my body was corrupted. That's why it's mortal. It's corrupted by the fall from sin. But somehow, some way, the light of the glorious gospel penetrated both my inward problem and my outward problem, and it just showed me one thing. It just revealed to me, so as I'm moving toward the sun, I'm hearing the gospel, it revealed to me my sinful condition. That was the truth that it preached to me. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And then when I realized I am a sinner, inside and out, I'm a sinner. But There's good news. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, and he took the punishment for all your sin on him at the cross, so that now the good news of forgiveness and freedom is available. And in that name, you can be born again. You can have a new life. You can be right with God. Wow. That simple message penetrated this double sin condition. And when I got that, he said, well, how do I do this? All you got to do is call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. Wow. That's all. It might seem small, but is so spiritually profound and significant. Because when you declare in your double sinful stated condition, I believe this gospel's true, and I declare, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. That's when the power of the new birth goes into action. That's when all of a sudden this inward spiritual nature of sin got co-crucified with Christ in the mind of God. And you went from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And you're born again, and you're a new child of God on the inside. And so from this place on, as long as you, since you've come to know Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Yeah, I do still have a pull toward sin, though. I didn't get a new body yet, all right? I still have my mortal body. But I am going to get a new body one day, the Bible says, that's going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. The mortal body fights me, all right? Because it's mortal for a reason. It's been corrupted by the fall of sin. So there are tendencies in this body that still fight us. And sometimes we feel a pull of sin and we think, oh, I'm just still the same person I was. No, you're not the same person you were. You, that old moral previous condition was co-crucified with Christ. You are a new creation. The fresh and new has come on the inside. And so when I'm beginning to see the unseen spiritual truth in heavenly places, I'm declaring I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about the standpoint of this new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. This is what he was talking about. The new creation, the fresh and new, created in righteousness and true holiness. What am I doing here? I'm seeing the unseen. In the face of my troubles, I'm declaring something. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. Praise God. And I'm telling you what too, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And there is something about it when you just speak it. You can, again, this is where I feel like the church is going to hit a new gear in terms of who we are in Christ. We can know it, but when you begin to speak it and declare it, when it becomes an active, fresh, spiritual reality, when you're looking at it in the face of troubles around you, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God will witness in your heart that it's true. And all you know is it's true. It's true. I still am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old still has passed away. All is still new. I'm becoming aware. I'm putting on that new man, which was already created in righteousness and true holiness. But I'm actively putting him on my mind. I'm identifying who I am as that person. Why is that important? Because I can operate from faith in a place there that I can't when I'm not actively identifying with who I am in Christ. If I'm identifying with the outward man, if I'm identifying with the weights and the sins that so easily beset me, that's who I am, it's hard to operate from faith from that place. But when I am a new creation, I see that new creation. I am recreated in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Then that's a whole different place. The Bible says, reckon yourself already to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. Why? Because I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm taking on that identity. I'm going there in my mind. What am I doing? I'm laying a foundation in Christ. I'm laying a foundation in who I am. So when the enemy, the accuser, comes along and tries to remind you and bring up the past, there is a fresh reality. No, this is who I am in Christ Jesus. I am new. I am strong in the Lord in the power of his might. There is that fresh revelation. You see, the devil isn't afraid of what you know. He's afraid of what you believe about what you know. And when you're putting on the new man, you're believing in what you know. That's when faith is active. It's not just, oh, that's a child of God. Oh, that's a child of God who knows he's a child of God. All right? That's different. And again, this is where we're going. We're going from knowing cool stuff to really beginning to get into some of this stuff. Really, and I'm just talking about, this is the private stuff. This is the non, You know, we're getting stirred up this morning, but I'm just saying when you get in your car, you're putting on the new man in your car. You're putting on the new man at home. You're putting on the new man at work. You're putting on the new man. You're keeping that new man on. You're just declaring. You're keeping that fresh. This is how we live. We're not looking at the things seen. We're looking at the things unseen. We're seeing the new creation. Yes, I can look in a natural mirror and I don't see the new man, but when I look in the mirror of the Word of God, I do see the new man. That's the mirror I'm looking at. That's the mirror I'm seeing it. So what are we doing? We're just stirring ourselves up in who that is. Also, another great foundation truth, just the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God, and you do not belong to yourself. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He is greater than he that is in this world, and he is a spirit of power. He's a spirit of love. He's a spirit of a sound mind. Praise God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've got the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to live right, to do right. It's through him. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But through Christ, you can do all things. It's amazing. And it's recognizing that he's in you and recognizing that he has the power. That ability is in me. So when I don't just say I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I also say I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I have the Spirit who lives in me. I have an anointing that abides within me. I know all things by the anointing who lives on the inside of me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm saying these things. Again, when I'm saying these things, we're saying them from a place. You know, you can use this message and actually get into a place under the law with the spirit of religion and repetition and trying to strive to earn to get some place, to get place. And this is where there's a tremendous difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. We're doing things not from an oldness of the letter. Pastor Ed said to say this 10 times and it's going to bless me. Not at all. We're doing it from a newness of the spirit. Lord, you said this in your word. I'm believing that it's true. I believe it's true. And I'm by faith going to declare it because your word says it. He that is in me is greater than he that is in this world. Praise God. I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I have the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Holy Spirit, you are a spirit of a sound mind. Praise God. I'll tell you what, a powerful way, the Holy Spirit in exercising authority will manifest himself to you is not just in the pushing back of powers and principalities, but will be a spiritual spirit of a sound mind that comes on you, that spirit of a sound mind where you're thinking clearly spiritually. It's like your thoughts slow down and you're seeing spiritually, the spirit of a sound mind, the spirit of a continuity of thought. And if anything tries to interrupt that spirit of a sound mind, you detect it in a way you couldn't detect it before. There's a spirit of a sound mind that keeps your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's a peace that passes your understanding, and you give it the permission to pass your understanding. So when something you don't understand comes through, you say, I don't care. No, I'm not in denial. You're violating some peace here. If I acknowledge God with that, if it's something I need to acknowledge God, that's great. But I am not going to interrupt. I'm not going to interrupt this peace. There's a spirit of a sound mind. It's like shields. It's like a shield for your mind. You know, there have been times you've been in that place and you've been attacked and you didn't even know you were attacked because you've been in a spirit of a sound mind. His tricks just don't work on that. The spirit of a sound mind will show up things that are wrong, that are demonic, that are confusion in every evil work. There's a spirit of us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you live in me. You have a power and a love and a sound mind that I need that I can't do on my own. I'm yielding to you. You're working in me to will and to do. Some of you guys might have seen the old Disney Disney cartoon Ratatouille. You see that? The chef, we've got the big hat and the mouse in there and he's doing this and like this. You know, you can cook all things through Christ. You know, you may think, I want to do this. And the Holy Spirit said, nope, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to do that. Okay, all right, praise God. Christ is working in me. I got the Spirit of God who's working in on the inside of me. But I got to yield to him, right? I got to, you know, like that the guy in Ratatouille, he had to yield to that. He had to humble himself and yield to a mouse. Was it a mouse or a rat? Something like rat, a rat, worse yet. He had to humble himself to a little rat to call the shots, but it got him where he needed to go. Well, if he can humble himself to a rat, we can certainly humble ourselves to the third person of the Trinity, the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, and say, yes, Holy Spirit, you've been sent to lead and guide me into all truth. I'm going to let you lead and guide. You're there to do this. Man, I'm declaring the power. I got the one. John is strong. He says, he's talking about regarding deceivers and people who are out to deceive. He says, you need not that anyone teach you. The anointing abides within you. The Holy Spirit, and you know all things. Now, of course, you don't know all things, but you know all things by him on the inside in your spirit. He knows all things. So what you need to know is available to you from his great resources of knowing everything. So what we need to know is in us by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We just need to yield to him. Lord, show us what we need to know about this situation at this time. So there's the confession. I'm looking at things not seen. I'm telling you, there's a spiritual blessing in heavenly places by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. There's going to be times you're just going to be going along and he'll just all of a sudden, the 23rd Psalm, just begin to speak it, begin to say it. Okay, 23rd Psalm. You know, okay, sing this worship chorus. Okay, I'm singing that. And he's going to lead you. He'll guide you. And he'll get you to, he'll make you lie down in green pastures. He'll lead you beside the still waters. And then he's going to restore your soul. And then from there, you'll see the path of righteousness that he's going to have you to walk in. Sometimes we say, Lord, show me that path. Let's just sit down for a while. Let's lie down for a while. I want you to know I love you again. Praise God. So we've got that truth of the Holy Spirit. That's a powerful confession of faith. The armor of God. We kind of went through this a little bit last week, too, in terms of resisting the devil. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Again, this is proactive stuff. This is stuff getting out ahead of the attack. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, put it on because the devil is going about and there will be an evil day at some point. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So here we see that admonition. This is looking at something you can't see with your eyes. You cannot see this armor with your eyes. You're going to have to look at things unseen to see this armor that will cause you to not be moved by the stuff that's going on in the here and now. And then here we see the armor listed here. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praise God. What do you see when you look in to the spirit realm, when you're looking into those heavenly places and you're seeing this armor? First of all, girding your waist with truth. This would be likened to hiding the word in your heart. This is where you're proactively getting the word of God in your heart. It's good to take time. And I'm so glad for our Treasure Seekers program that we have here on Wednesday nights with kids, where we take time to memorize scripture, to hide the word of God in our heart. It's a baseline of truth. We're getting the word of God in us. We're investing in time, knowing what those promises are in the word of God. You know, before you can say, it is written, you got to know what's written. Right? So there is an investment of time where we're getting in the Word of God and we're just saying, okay, Lord, I'm investing in the Word. I'm meditating on the Scripture. I'm getting it in my spirit. Praise God. That's girding your waist with truth, where you're sowing to the Spirit in that manner. There is a breastplate of righteousness. What is putting on your breastplate of righteousness? Your breastplate of righteousness, that righteousness is your right standing with God. That breastplate protects your heart. When you put your breastplate of righteousness on, it has everything to do with your conscience. It's ultimately keeping your conscience clear. The Bible says if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And so there's a work, praise God, that the breastplate of righteousness does. When I'm speaking that breastplate of righteousness, I'm declaring who I am in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, but I have his righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Putting on the new man who was created in righteousness and true holiness. This new creation is a righteous new creation. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness is when I'm doing the proactive spiritual work of making sure that my heart is clear before God. That I've got nothing condemning my conscience. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm still righteous as a new creation. But unrighteousness, things that I'm doing wrong, it blocks my fellowship with God. It causes my heart to be condemned. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses my conscience. That breastplate of righteousness is where I'm doing business at the throne of grace. Praise God. It's hard to fight the devil if your heart is condemning you. The breastplate of righteousness restores. I'm not perfect. I'm still growing. I'm still a work in progress. But I've got what's in my heart out. Any known sin, I have confessed it out. I'm clear in my heart. I've received the forgiveness. I've received the cleansing from all unrighteousness. And that breastplate of righteousness is intact. Because when our heart condemns us not, we have confidence toward God. And that's what the breastplate of righteousness restores. I got confidence toward God. And I'm telling you what, when the enemy attacks and you got confidence toward God, then you're in a place where you're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the breastplate of righteousness. It's keeping your heart clear. The gospel of peace. I love this one. And I love that it's sandwiched in there. The gospel of peace is a great reminder to us in this battle, in this war, that we are not out here fighting with all this armor with a goal of not getting killed. That's not my goal. I'm a soldier in his army. And I'm on a mission, and the enemy, which the Bible says, your enemy, the devil, your adversary, he's your enemy for a reason. And a big reason that you're the devil's enemy is because of this right here. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I'm not down here to just not get beat up by the devil. I'm down here to go into his kingdom and get people out of his kingdom. I'm down here to rescue people from hell. There's a real hell. Jesus didn't come to start up a religion. He came to save us from a real hell and bring us to a real heaven. We have a message down here. This is part of our armor down here. This reminds us of our mission, why we're down here. We're down here to get people saved. This isn't just about me surviving. This is about me getting people out of the kingdom of darkness. In other words, when I'm hearing the roars and all that, I'm hearing the roars, wait. There must be opportunity here. I'm not going to just self-preserve. No. I'm down here to take back. I'm down here to occupy till he comes. I'm going to occupy some things here. Yeah. If he's going to come after me, he's showing his hand. There must be something here he doesn't want me to see. Lord, I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I am your workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works you've ordained me to walk in. Lord, if there are people here, if there are things here, if I can speak good news, if my feet can be beautiful to speak life, show me that person in the middle of this, Lord. I'm down here. I'm down here to win for the kingdom of God that I've been delivered to. I'm not down here to survive. I'm down here to take. I should be his enemy because I'm after him. I'm after his kingdom. My Lord Jesus paid the price for everybody in this kingdom to be saved. They belong to him. The devil should be. We should be his enemy because our mission is against him. Our mission is against his kingdom. We're coming to get people saved. We're coming with good news. We're coming with beautiful feet. And I'm telling you this, when you put on this, when you put on this piece of armor as you're getting ready for the evil day, make this your prayer. Lord, show me, I'm putting on the preparation of the gospel of peace. I am ready, Lord, to share your name, to share the gospel. I pray, Father, for a door of utterance that I may speak the word boldly as I ought to speak, Lord. Show me what that looks like. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to take somebody on the street corner and preach the gospel. It could be that, but sometimes it's just going to be those Holy Spirit gestures too, of kindness and sowing love, showing kindness in the middle of a situation that makes people go, wow, according to my calculations, you should be, how can you have such peace and just joy? You're going to be called to shine this good news in a lot of different ways. It could be declaring it. It could be just great, wonderful ways that you can show and demonstrate the love of God. Praise God. And then you've got the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Praise God. This shield of faith, praise, this is another manifestation of the word of God as well too. This is a manifestation where one of the is you're a doer of the word. You know, it's not the hearer of the word that's blessed. It's the doer of the word that is blessed. When God shows you to do something and you do it and you're acting out of faith, praise God, that is part of the shield of faith. It's when you're beginning to lift up, but the word of God says this. And the word of God, you know, so I heard after a service, I forgot, but kind of a visual of the shield of faith being like a watery shield that extinguishes all the fiery darts of the devil. And the Bible talks about the washing of the water by the word. And there's something about the word of God that can extinguish, that can put to death those flames, that demonic wisdom that is so enticing and so, you know, that stirs you up, that can be so toxic. But there's the shield of faith that brings it back to reality, that brings it back to the word of God. And that's where I'm letting my faith become sight. If there's something that I need to do, I'm doing it. If I need to forgive, I'm forgiving. I'm doing what I know to do. I'm walking out. Lord, is there something that I need to do? There's that shield of faith. It's the word of God. It's lifting up the word of God in the face of demonic attacks and demonic lies. But there's a doing of the word that is powerful. There's a doing of the word. And this is where I'm over here putting it on, saying, Lord, show me. Is there something that you want me to do? Is there something you want me to say? Father, I want my heart to be clear that I'm doing what you've called me to do. There's the helmet of salvation. When you put on that helmet of salvation, is like it's a helmet of perspective. It's like you're going 30,000 feet. You are saved by grace through faith. You are saved. You have eternal life. Praise God. Your eternity is in heaven with God forever. There's a blessed hope that keeps you grounded. That's an anchor for your soul. When you put on that helmet of salvation, it anchors your soul. It reminds you where you're going. I have eternal life. Eternal life is not something you get when you die. Eternal life is something you get when you receive Christ. I've written these things to you, my little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. There's a reminder. There's looking at things unseen. I'm seeing that eternal life. I'm seeing that eternal state with my Lord. I'm seeing the temporariness of these troubles. And that's what he had on, Paul, when he's talking about that. He had that helmet of salvation on. He said, these troubles are just for a little bit. But the things that I'm looking at, they're forever. He is up there. He is seeing things from that heavenly perspective. You're saved by grace through faith. God loves you. He's for you. He's with you. This battle that you're going through, it's tiny. It's temporary. Finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's when you are speaking the name of Jesus, the word of God. You're specifically swinging a sword to take on specific attacks, things that are going on. But you're getting that sword sharp. You're getting that sword in your spirit. You know, you can get that sword so good in your spirit that when you get reminded, oh yeah, I got to put on the new man. You can have a whole narrative of the new man that you can get worked up in your spirit that blesses you. You know, I can rattle off some scriptures. But get your own new creation narrative. The fact that you're a new person in Christ Jesus. These are some things that you're seeing the unseen. This armor is real. And again, exciting to be a part of the body of Christ at this time because we're going from cool, we got armor, to we got armor, we got to put it on. If we're going to stand in the evil day, this can't just be theology that we check off that we know. It's got to be on us. It's got to be actively on us. We're looking at things not seen. Can't see this with your eyes, but you're putting it on. Praise God by the power of the Spirit. Finally, the name of Jesus. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And Proverbs reminds us the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they're safe. Can't see the name of Jesus with your eyes, but the name of Jesus is powerful. It's precious. The name of Jesus is one of those things that in the evil day, when that name is fresh in your heart and you realize that name is above every name, praise God, you're working in your spirit the revelation of that name. In other words, when I'm speaking that name again from a place. We saw last week that Jesus spoiled powers and principalities, that he was raised up far above them, and that he raised us up together with him. I love to say, in the name of Jesus, the one who spoiled you 2,000 years ago, I resist you. Man, look in the word of God. I remember the apostle Paul, Peter got a man healed, you know, at the gate beautiful who was lame. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. And then he had a big crowd and he said, why are you looking upon us as though by any power of our own that we did anything? It's faith in the name of Jesus Christ that made this man well. And I'll tell you what, I'll go back there as I'm resisting. In the same faith in the name of Jesus that made that man at the gate beautiful well, I resist you in the same faith in that name that breaks the power of every demonic force off my mind in the name of Jesus. I equate that name. I remember that name and what that name represents. What am I doing? I'm getting stirred up. Praise God. Looking at things not seen. Then finally, there's a foundation of love. Apostle Paul said, I pray that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and depth and height and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Again, here's another, this is wonderful, powerful, proactive way that we begin to proactively give no place to the devil, and there's a foundation of love here. The first thing when we're talking about love is not loving one another. The first thing when you're going to get grounded about love is you got to return to God's love for you. We love because he first loved us. Your love, your ability to love, the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to go back to something. The reason why Jesus talks about a parable of an unforgiving servant. He was strangling his brother over 20 bucks. But what was his problem? He forgot something. Bitterness can set in when we forget something, when we're not actively grounded and humbly grateful daily for the amazing mercy and grace that God has shown us. There is something really healthy about being challenged to know the depth and the height, the width and the length of God's love for you. I'm telling you, that's the thing that keeps your heart humble and causes you to remember that you've been forgiven the million-dollar debt. I love even worship. Dude, we had that exhortation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you. Thank you. This appreciation, this gratitude. I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. Praise God. In remembering the sin, you've been forgiven. Remembering. It's gone. Washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. A humble appreciation and remembrance that you're forgiven, rooted and grounded in his love for you. I'll tell you, that'll humble your heart in a way that helps you remember, yes, to forgive and to go on and forgive even as. But I'll tell you, it starts with remembering God loves me. Lord, you've forgiven me everything. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Worship is a great way, like we were doing this morning. Worship is a great way to stir up that remembrance, that humble appreciation for what God has done in you. Walking in the Spirit. When I say then, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh. Now, I summarized these verses 19 through 23 to kind of target this issue of walking in love. You know, I lifted out some of the works of the flesh in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. But the Apostle Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, we're proactively preparing ourselves for that storm, for that day. Now, the works of the flesh are hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is so, when I see this, when I think of walking in the Spirit, this is one of those great heart check passages that can just help get you get your heart cleared out. If you get that cleared out, the enemy attacks that flesh stuff. Hatred, contentions, jealousy. It's people, places, situations, relationships. They're all connected to stuff. And the enemy plays on that. But I'm telling you what, when you recognize a lot of that stuff coming to your mind and your heart, there is flesh there. The law of sin and death is warring this stuff against the law of my mind. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill that. Man, there's power in that. Now, here's what I like to do when it comes to this. And we're bringing this back to the new creation, right? I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. I reckon myself to be dead unto sin. I'm a new creation. I'm dead unto sin. This is a powerful exercise as it relates to it. And in other words, say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am dead to hatred. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm dead to contentions. I'm dead to jealousies. The new man has no outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension. I am dead to these things in Jesus' name. I'm a new creation. These things don't own me. I am a new creation. The new creation is, I reckon myself, I consider myself to be dead unto these things. I am a new creation. It's who I am. I'm going further. I'm bringing it down to this stuff. What am I doing? I'm building a foundation of love. I'm not giving myself permission to indulge these things anymore. I'm taking on the identity of the new creation. You know, there's a good form of cancel culture as it relates to this stuff. You get that stuff in your head, cancel it. It's not who you are. Reckon yourself to be dead unto it. You don't have to argue with it. You can just cancel it when you recognize it's not God. It's flesh. Canceled. I don't have to argue with flesh. I cancel it because it's flesh. The scripture says, you have no obligation to the pull of the carnal nature. You have no obligation to answer the phone when it's ringing. You have no obligation to have a conversation with it. By the Spirit, you put it to death. You don't answer the call. You keep feasting on the heavenly realities. You walk in the Spirit. And that was what that whole message we did about a month ago was on how I walk in the Spirit, setting my mind on things above. I'm setting my mind on things above, and I'm keeping it there, praise God. So there's a walking in the Spirit. There is a walking in love. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's that remembrance. I'm forgiving even as, which means I've got a fresh remembrance. The mercy and the grace of God toward me is fresh in my heart. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us. And here is that beautiful admonition where I am walking in love. And I'm telling you what, the devil plays this a lot of times because, you know, you might forgive something and the enemy will come back and he'll roar the remembrance of the thing that that person did. And all of a sudden you find yourself stirred up over what they did. And you think, oh my goodness, I thought I forgave that. But I guess I really didn't forgive that. No, you did forgive it. The enemy just came back and reminded you of it and is trying to get you stirred up on it all over again. You don't have to forgive the devil. You don't have to forgive demonic wisdom. You forgive the person. And once you've forgiven the person, they're forgiven. And if something comes against your mind and stirs you up, say, that's been forgiven in Jesus' name. Furthermore, I will not identify with being a bitter person. I'm not. That's another accusation of the devil that goes hand in hand with that accusation that tried to stir it up in the first place. I'm seeing through it now and saying, no, that's not God. Praise God. I resist that in the name of Jesus. Now, if there are things you haven't forgiven, forgive it. Man, just drive your stake in the ground and say, Lord, I need to forgive. The Holy Spirit will gently, you know, lead and guide us and say, there's something there that, okay, great, forgive. But the enemy will attack many times. You take inventory of the things you get stirred up with. Many times there are things that you can remember driving the stake in the ground saying, oh, man, I thought you did forgive it. You forgave the person at the time. Demonic fluff is just trying to accuse you and falsely accuse you. All right? So there's a seeing through that, praise God, that you can see that's just the liar, the accuser of the brethren at work. I'm walking in love. Father, I forgive. And I thank you, Father God, that I have forgiven them. And what you can do, you can reaffirm that forgiveness. Lord, I've forgiven them, and I just reaffirm. They are forgiven in Jesus' name, in my mind, in my heart. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with that, but you're reaffirming they're forgiven, even as I have been forgiven by you, Lord. Praise God. And then finally, reconciliation. The Apostle Paul said, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I've forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Now the Apostle Paul is correcting a situation in the church where somebody went astray and he had to bring correction, and you know, he gave them some guidance there, and they have followed his guidance, and he wanted them to know that as they have forgiven him, that he's forgiven them with them, so that there's no strife, there's no division. What he says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. So as you're seeing things where there can be reconciliation, man, be quick to reconcile. Be quick to bring things together. Be quick to bring things to closure, to where Satan doesn't take advantage of things, where Satan gets in and starts to begin to play on minds. Man, get things clear in your spirit. The Apostle Paul said, hey, we're good here. We're good. Let's go on. No need to worry about this. I am right on the same page with you guys. This is healed. This is whole. This is in the past. Let's go forward. Praise God. That's the heart of God, is reconciliation. That's what the Bible's all about. It's a big book, but that's the one word heart of it. So walking in our authority, again, just kind of closing off the series here. No place to the devil. I just wanted to close off with things that we can do proactively. I don't have to wait for the day and then react. I can proactively begin to build a foundation on those unseen blessings. I can begin to proactively just get active in my spirit, in my conscience, putting on the new man, seeing the Holy Spirit working on the inside of me, putting on that armor of God, just checking those. That armor of God is almost like you do a lube and oil change, they got those little checkpoints that they do. That's what the armor of God is like spiritually. It's checkpoints of spiritual health it keeps me strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, so that when the evil day comes, one thing's for sure, I got my conscience and my heart right toward God. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm looking past this thing to see the opportunity that God wants for me to bring good news. I see have the word of God fresh in my heart. I got the word of God ready to speak out of my mouth. Praise God, where that sword becomes sharp, becomes powerful, becomes effective. And there's a foundation of love where I'm just staying fresh on God's love for me. Praise God, laying down his green pastures, believing that love, receiving his love. Because when I do, that's what opens my heart up to love, because he first loved me, to be able to show that love, to let that love that's been shed abroad in my heart out and realize that I love people, I forgive people, I walk in love toward people. People are precious to God. People are precious to me. Every person is so precious to the heart of God. And to see people as people made in the image of God with his purpose and his work, praise God. The Spirit of God will make you fall in love with people, because God loves people, loves the world. Praise God. Even the sinner loves them. And we'll have that same love of God for people and that same compassion. Praise God. When we got that working, praise God, that love is like a spiritual off repellent. You know, when you got the love of God working in you, it repels that junk of the enemy. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much that you've given us this authority through your Son, Jesus Christ. We're so thankful, Jesus, for what you did for us at the cross, how you disarmed the powers and the principalities. Praise God. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the authority that you've given me in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I declare Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, and he will always be my Lord. Jesus, I'm here to live for you. I don't fear he that is in this world. I look to you. I look at things unseen. I declare the spiritual blessings that are mine in heavenly places. I am a new creation. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I have the armor of God. I have the name of Jesus. I have the word of God. I purpose, Lord, keep these fresh in my heart and to walk in love, to receive your love, and to show that love and that forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. And receive that this morning. I'll tell you, I'm reminded of that admonition that Jesus gave us. He said, you know, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And then you will know the truth, and then the truth will make you free. There's a process from getting the word to knowing the word to that word making you free. And I would just have to say this, I'll just tell on myself. Somebody was to say, okay, you know, Pastor Ed, what would you do different? If you could go back 20 years, you know what I would do different? I've been knowing this stuff for a long time. And I've walked in it, and I believed in it. I've swung the sword, and I've done different things, but I've kind of played with it. I'm just ready to be all in. I'd go back, and I would establish what I've been doing recently. Solid narratives and who I am. In getting that deeper and deeper in my spirit and in my mind to where when the enemy comes roaring, those arguments just don't stick. They just don't have any effect because the truth that I know has made me free. Again, it's not just what you know, it's what you believe about what you know. And it's actively believing, letting that word dwell in you richly, seeing those things unseen. Amen. Praise God.